Yes, you're on the podcast where you talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Here to talk about what's probably going to win the... I need like a supercut of all the times in movies where somebody teaches someone to whistle, because I do feel like that's a trope, and it's like... Whistling,
when did you learn to whistle? Because I was old.
I feel like I was in like middle school, maybe. I don't know. I feel like I was fairly...
It took me a while.
I don't think I was that old. But it's sort of like blowing a bubble with chewing gum. It's like you can't really... Like, I don't think you really teach somebody, you know? It's like,
yeah,
well, so you just have to like fold the gum and then spread it and then make
stick
a circle with your tongue through the thing. And it's like, no, you actually just have to like be an adult and like be chewing gum and try a bunch of things and then eventually
be an adult.
Figure it out.
You didn't blow a bubble gum until you were in college.
No, I guess it's
is
not
that
that's,
what you're
that's
confessing?
How, I mean, like you need to have like your motor skills about you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
If you're too young and you're still like can't hold a pencil or cut your own food, it's like yeah, you're probably not going to be able to blow a bubble.
It takes a few years.
But once have control of your like physical abilities, then you can figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the tip of, oh, it's like making a candle flicker, not blowing it all the way out, was really, really solid advice, honestly. I was like, oh, yeah, that's the language we need. That's how she says you learn to whistle.
I feel like if I'm whistling, though, it's like it's louder or it's stronger than blowing a can, than making it flicker. I don't know. Who am I? Who am I to judge? But it seems a bit... I'm skeptical.
Yeah, you're not on board. That's the number one complaint for Snow White for you is unrealistically.
Yeah, I felt like it was an unproblematic, really great 10 out of 10 movie, and then there was that whistle scene. And
until
Dopey
learned to whistle,
I'm out.
5 seconds in.
Sorry.
And then I'm excited to talk about this with you. I mean Snow White has been on our radar for far too long. Like you said, it's just been mired in every controversy you can imagine since it was announced in like 2021. Most of it's stupid controversy. Like a lot of it, I mean, from all sides, I guess I should say. Like no one can agree on why they hate this film, but they all hate this film. And so you had everyone being upset that Rachel Zegler was cast as a Latina, Snow White, and all the same people who hated on The Little Mermaid being black were like,
actually, she's supposed to be white as Snow. actually, this movie is really important to me, even though I haven't watched it since I was 4 years old, because it's the lamest Disney movie ever made. They decided they were really, really pro Someday My Prince Will Come and really pro strangers kissing girls sleeping/dead. And I just think that alone was enough of an eye roll. But then you also had the problem with Rachel Zegler not being your happy, bushy-tailed Disney star. She was very...
opinionated?
She's abrasive. She had a lot to say about this role, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
I mean, I sort of feel like another Rachel Zegler project, West Side Story, that there's something sort of like intrinsically unfixable with the Snow White storyline that I feel like you can't really sort of get around it. The fact that it's like, oh, it's this girl who's like asleep and then this guy comes and he kisses her while she's unconscious and wakes her up. It's like that in the Year of Our Lord 2025. Yeah, it's like a little bit creepy. And so I kind of think we could have just gone on without this one, but I was looking at the live action remakes and it was like, oh, they did all of the other princesses that were available and sort of less problematic first. And then this was sort of the last princess that they had on the docket of the like old school princesses to do. So, I mean, like, do I think that they should have done this? No, but I can see how Disney was sort of like, okay, well, we're running out of options. So I guess let's give Snow White a try because we're, you know, running low on these classic princesses after we've already done Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast and Jasmine from Aladdin, and we have a Moana coming.
Did they do Sleeping Beauty?
Well, Maleficent is Sleeping Beauty, yes?
Oh, right.
Maleficent and Maleficent 2. So I guess, like, I don't, your mileage may vary on that, but yes, like, because is it Elle Fanning? That's who's Sleeping Beauty in the, or Aurora in Sleeping Beauty? Or in Maleficent, but yeah, so they were sort of just like running out of options. They're like, okay, let's give this a go. And I think that there would have been a certain amount of controversy just in general about Snow White, but then they sort of just made a whole bunch of incorrect decisions or just got unlucky about things. And yeah, it's like you had people upset that Rachel Zegler wasn't white. Then you had people upset about the dwarfs and sort of how to handle that situation. And you had people upset that if they were going to cast actual little people, you had people upset if they weren't casting little people. Then you have people sort of upset about the general, like, kissing sort of consent issue. And then, oh, if they're going to change it, then it's too woke. So then we don't want to watch this movie because we're changing this old classic. And then, of course, you have Gal Gadot coming out as pro-Israel. And then Rachel Zegler has to come out with a statement that's pro-Palestine. And it seems like they hate each other. And it's just like, oh, there's a whole... And then the movie got delayed because of the strike. So what would have come out a year ago got pushed back. So they were sort of like partway through the press cycle, but then didn't get all the way through the press cycle way back when. And then this time they were like, we're scrapping a bunch of the press for the movie. We're scaling back the carpet. And then after they scaled back the carpet, they had to come up with a statement that was like, oh no, we didn't scale back the carpet. We were never going to have a big carpet for this movie. Like, why would we have done that?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, it's just because it's a massive Disney live action remake that all of the other ones have had these insane rollouts for. And now what? You're planning a low-key launch for Snow White? Because
little
why?
Bunnies on the red carpet. That's all you need.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing has just been a shit show from start to finish.
Well, yeah. And it's like Disney is always going to be interesting to me because they are people who, like, you can bully Disney into basically anything you want. Like they're really worried about isolating anyone. And so they constantly make these choices that are just like, oh, okay, never mind. Oh, no, like, trust us. Oh, we'll do it this way. And so, like, this whole scenario with the seven dwarves especially, I mean, at first it was like, okay, yeah, they'll probably cast little people. But then Peter Dinklage was on a podcast and, like, ranted about this. And they immediately were like, pulled the brakes, like, sent out their crisis PR and were like, no, we're going to do something different. We're going to do something different. And then, like, set photos leaked of them having one little person and then all these stand-ins for the other dwarves. And so then people were freaking out about, like, oh, so you're just going to take jobs away from little people. And then they were like, no, that was just a stand-in. Like, nothing happened there. It's going to be all digital and they're not even going to look like real things. They are garden gnomes that are just the creepiest little shiny things you've ever witnessed, and it'll all work out perfectly. Please trust us. And same with how they treated, like, vitriol against Rachel. Like, at first they were very, you know, protective of her in the same way they were with Haley, the Little Mermaid.
Oh yes, Halle Bailey.
And then once she started putting her foot in it for some people, where she was like, yeah, I mean, this movie is pretty dated and we're going to mix things up. And everyone got mad at that. Suddenly it was like, oh, okay, we just won't send her anywhere to talk about this. Like, it wasn't like anyone came out in defense of her to be like, oh, yeah, well, we are choosing to go a more modern route and we think it'll be exciting and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. They just kind of like, there's something so like anxious about these Disney live actions. And I think, one, it's because they've been very unsuccessful critically, even though they still make a shit ton of money, obviously. But they just seem kind of paranoid about doing it wrong. And it's like, they just need to accept that not everyone will be happy with these. And they just kind of need to be better at focusing on making a movie instead of making everyone happy with it.
I mean, we've covered lots of sort of failed Disney projects at this point.
Yeah.
And these live action remakes did make money initially, but like Mufasa didn't make nearly as much money as they had hoped. This one is not making very much money. They've obviously had a whole string of Marvel movies and Marvel shows and Star Wars shows that didn't quite make up enough money. Some of the Disney live actions and the Pixar movies that they've released as of late have not done well. There's been successes in the run, but I think there's obviously been a lot of misses. And it just, I think, comes from a lack of perspective or point of view. It feels like they're, instead of making strong choices and sticking by them, they're constantly on the back foot or trying to, like, you know, get money out of something that already came out that they can rework rather than come up with new ideas. And I don't really understand how and when this happened, because if you think about Disney for most of its run, it's been about these strong creative choices and making, you know, bold things that people really liked. Like, they weren't really in the business of doing sequels or remakes for a very, very long time. I feel like until, you know, the last 10, 15 years. And then they acquired Star Wars and they acquired Marvel and they have Pixar and then obviously their regular animated movies, and somehow or another they've managed to like tank every single one of those brands with a variety of bad decisions, both in making things that were too weird and making things that weren't weird enough and redoing things that didn't need to be redone. But then in some of the things that they redid, redoing them in sort of baffling ways, like Mulan, that kind of just made no sense as to why you'd cut the pieces of that movie that the most people liked and then add things that people didn't like. Yeah, it's just very bizarre. But I want to talk about the dwarves in particular, because I think that that whole saga is fascinating. Like, one, because you have the Peter Dinklage situation and sort of like, why are we parading these little people around in the year of our Lord 2025? Like, this is super inappropriate, which I think does make sense. But then you also have little people coming out saying, well, like, these are roles that we could be playing. We're not being cast in, you know, sort of regular, like, I'm not being cast as Prince Charming. Yeah. Here's seven roles that I could be up for, but now I'm not getting them because, you know, supposedly we don't want to stereotype in this way.
Yeah.
And so I think that that sort of conversation is interesting, and I don't really know where I land on it or if I, you know, even really should have an opinion on it, because it's has nothing to do with me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's like, you know, they're not a monolith. Like Peter Dinklage can have his opinion, but it doesn't mean he speaks for all little people everywhere. And I think also simultaneously it's true for the people who are pro it. And I think that is like, that's just going to be the continued sort of issue with recognizing the need for diversity, but also, like, you know, not making it just this, I don't know. Like, I think that's just like every movie has that current issue. And I think the more movies you make where you just don't worry about it in the same obsessive way, the better. Because, yeah, to your point, like, I mean, sure, they could have just been Snow White and the Seven Dudes. Like, it could have been a variety of people of all shapes and sizes and abilities and whatever. Or they also cast a person with dwarfism as a character that's not even remarked upon as a dwarf in this world or whatever. So it's like, in an ideal world, anyone could be up for anything. But since there are limited opportunities, sometimes the best way to get actors' recognition is through these sort of, I don't know, stereotypical or specific roles and characters. But yeah, as far as having an opinion on what the right answer was, I definitely don't feel comfortable like saying either way. But I think it is telling that instead of really investing in the community, Disney was just like, oh, okay, yeah, we won't do it. Like, we'll just animate them in a live action. And I think that was the wrong choice just because it was the lazy one. Like, it was the easiest solution. And instead of talking to, you know, they said like, oh yeah, we're going to take it under advisement with the community and we're going to like, but there was no real proof of that. It was basically like, well, everyone's getting mad at us, so let's just like animate it and call it good. And we won't make them look like real people. So then no one can be mad about this at all. And it's like, well, yeah, I guess, but it also, I mean, yeah, it doesn't help anyone at that point.
It's very confusing. Well, and then also then by animating them, they look terrible because Disney just spent approximately $3 on their visual effects. Like, the whole movie just looks like shit. But I'm also very intrigued by the process of coming to this version of the dwarves, because I feel like there's all of these rumors online, one about those like leaked set photos.
Yeah.
And then also just like the timeline of things, because in the movie, there's also a huntsman character who is basically, well, no, there's the huntsman. Then there is a bandit, Jonathan, who's played by Andrew Brunap, the Broadway star. And he's sort of the love interest instead of Prince Charming. And he has this like band of bandits, I guess, who are with him. And so the photo that was leaked that everybody thought was the dwarfs is actually a photo of this like group of bandits or whatever. But then it was confusing because I've heard some people say, oh, well, originally those people had been cast sort of as the dwarfs. But then when the controversy happens, then they made like sort of like reworked everything so that those people were then now the like Robin Hood henchmen kind of things, and then the dwarves were, and I was trying to figure out online if that is true or not, or if like there was always two groups of these people, and I couldn't really find anything. But I do think that it is at least sort of clever to have a actual little person in the movie and not have them be the dwarf, because I do think then that gives the movie like a lot of plausible deniability to be like, these aren't like, what? Yeah, these aren't dwarfs. These are magical creatures. Yeah. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, what? Because they're never like dwarfs as a slur. Dwarfs.
It's just the magical species that has glowing hands and lives in a mountain full of gems of every variety for some unknown reason.
What? Like, and it's also sort of weird that, like, everybody else in the movie is a real person, and then there's just these, like, little, like, bloopy bloop characters that are plopping around.
Who've, like, not seen another human in 100 years or something. So it's like, who are you working for? What are you doing? Where are you sending these gems?
Where are the gems going?
Do you work for the queen? Does the queen know you exist? Like, are you... I don't know. Like, her? I was so fascinated by it. I do like the idea of the bandits having been the original idea, and I think that would have been more fun. I think that would have been like a fun modernization without like losing some of the charm, and because that would have made more sense of like these bandits living in a house together, just trying to like get by and kind of hating each other and needing help being like normal humans. And I wish they'd done that. I wish that rumor was true, just because that would make more sense, because really the bandits are giving nothing to do. Like, they're barely functioning as bandits. Like, he literally steals like 7 potatoes during the film. And I would have wanted more from that for sure. I mean, they're just like, oh, we're royalists. Like, we believe in the king. Like, I'm like, what? Get a life, get an actual cause, sir. Like, please be be realistic in your social justice warrior behavior. But
okay, I have a lot of thoughts on the sort of political or philosophical leanings of this movie, but I feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves. We should go back to one. What was your connection with the original White? And then sort of our thoughts on the movie as a whole, like whether we liked it, whether we didn't like it.
Thank you for asking. I appreciate that recentering. Snow White, I mean, I think I have the same experience as many a millennial. I definitely watched it. I didn't like it. I think a few things like stuck with me visually, like the creepy witch, obviously, and the creepy forest tree face trying to eat her. I remember very vividly like details of the film, but I doubt I watched it regularly because it doesn't really, you know, we grew up in the era of like Beauty and the Beast. Like, it's like, I'm going to watch Pocahontas over Snow White any day of the week. So I wasn't like attached to it by any means. It was never a soundtrack I revisited, never like a character I loved. But it did. Yeah, it was very, it's crazy that it came out in 38 or something.
Yeah, it's 1937. It was the first, you know, Disney animated feature length film. So
very impressive. So it did have quite the staying power to still like be a relevant children's movie by the time I rolled around. But so when they announced this, I was sort of in the camp of, well, this is going to be weird, because honestly, like, I liked Cinderella, the live action, and I guess The Jungle Book, if we count that. But then the rest are just bad, like Beauty and the Beast, trash. Mulan, sorry, but you're bad. Little Mermaid, okay, it's fine, but it's sort of like, who is this for? And Aladdin was just so cheap, it was painful.
But so there going was one into really this, great, you know, highlight in all of those movies, which was, I always wanted a brother.
No, I didn't even count that. Like,
Mufasa, a bad dead movie, but with perhaps the best song ever written. Lin-Manuel deserves and everything for that. But okay, moving on.
Yeah. But anyways, so coming to the live action, I figured it would be bad just because there was so much mess around it. I had very low expectations going into it. And honestly, I felt like it was good enough. Like, it wasn't like the best, but it wasn't the worst by any means. Like, for me, I actually really liked the music in this. Like, I think it was a nice, like usually the songs are so bad, and the new songs especially are always like, oh, that just shows how bad it is. But maybe it helped that Snow White's songs weren't memorable to begin with, so that you didn't have to like compare it to something like, you know, the opening of The Lion King, or you don't have to write a song that competes with Part of Your World, right? So I felt like the music was good in this, and I like Rachel Zegler. I can't help it. I think she has a terrible agent or bad luck or something, but I felt like she was good enough in this. And honestly, Gal Gadot being bad at acting served this dumb character. So I feel like it kind of existed in this realm of like, if I pull back, this movie falls apart, you know, as far as world building goes. Like, it got too in the weeds of what this kingdom is. But in the midst of it, I was having a good time. I'll be honest, I was. I know you were a hater, but I was like, okay, like, I'm on board with how they like played up the not a prince, I'm just a I'm just a bandit, and the princess problems of it all. And I liked the like angle of it being that she wants to be fair, but then realizing like she's basically on a journey about equality versus equity. And I found that very fascinating.
But don't you think it would have been better if she had a song in there that was, I always wanted an apple. Somebody give me an apple. The witch should give me an apple that I'll eat. Like, I think that there was
a lot of
opportunity for some better songwriting that we didn't get. no, I was actually sort of had a revelation this week, because I've been thinking a lot about this movie, and I was like, okay, I know that I watched this a decent amount growing up. I feel like I watched all of these Disney movies a lot growing up. And I was like, but I never really had any fondness for this. And I do remember sort of being afraid of the, like, witch part. And it's like, okay, the original movie's only like 80 some minutes. So it's short, short. But then what I realized is that Disney used to re-release their movies only like every 5 years or something. It was like an in the vault situation where it would come out on VHS and it would be available for a period of time, a couple of months, and then you couldn't buy it again. And there wasn't streaming services, obviously. Like, it wasn't on TV. Like, you could only get it if you had this VHS. And because I was the oldest child, what would happen was that, like, we didn't have any of these before. So whenever a new one would get released, my mom or grandma or somebody would buy it. And then we would watch that one a number of times because it was like, we didn't have cable TV and we didn't have that many movies. And so it was like a new movie that we had, and it was probably the only new movie we were going to get for a couple of months. And so we would watch it, you know, like, I don't know, on repeat. There's some of them that I obviously watched a lot more because we liked them. And so we would just keep going back. Like, I've seen, you know, Aristocats and, like, The Rescuers, Twist, like, a bazillion times. Oliver and Company. But then there's Company, other ones that I didn't watch as much. But so I'm like, that's why I watched this, because at some point, you know, in 1999, it was released on VHS, and then we watched it a bunch for a couple of months, which is like why these stories stick in my mind more than other movies. But yeah, I didn't really have any affinity for it. I haven't really liked these Disney live action movies. The controversy surrounding this made me think, like, okay, this is probably going to be bad. Ultimately, I didn't think that this was necessarily a bad movie so much as it was just a very boring movie and a movie that feels like very much directed towards children. Like, I think if I was like 6 years old, I would have been know, more entranced. And I think we've gotten to a point recently with, you know, Pixar movies and stuff like The Wild Robot, where these movies that are like kids movies have a lot more sort of like adult emotion in them and more complex storylines and themes. And this was like very straightforward. And while it did make some changes from the original, the plot is largely the same, and they don't add that much. Well, they add some to it, but like not anything that really interesting or groundbreaking. So I sort of found it like ultimately just a little bit dull, because I didn't really think that there was anything in there that was too particularly interesting. And then the new songs, I liked fine sort of in the moment, but I can't really remember any of them now. None of them stuck with me.
I can sing them all for you. Do you want me to? you know Penny's favorite one?
Which
Penny's
one?
Penny's favorite song from this is the fairest of them all, like the villain song. She's like always singing that. It's like, life is fair for the fairest of them all. Like, look in the mirror and see, like, you're not as pretty as me.
Oh gosh.
So I heard that one a lot.
Gal Gadot was like, I mean, I feel like sort of everybody in this movie was kind of bad, like, but they were all sort of bad in the same way where they're all giving, it's like I think the script is bad, and then they're all acting on these green screens with nothing around them. Gal Gadot can't sing, so there's that also added
to it. I know,
I
loved it.
But it's like nobody is thriving here. I was very interested because I was like, okay, who wrote this script? Like, who did they hire to do this? And it's this woman, Erin Cressida Wilson, whose last movie that she wrote was The Girl on the Train in 2016.
I know.
I'm sort of like, how did this woman get cast? Like, there was nobody better to write this than somebody who hasn't written a movie in over a decade.
And it was like a murder mystery adult film.
Right.
Yeah. No, I loved it too. I mean, I think that's what, honestly, some of those are the reasons it worked. Like, I feel like this was geared towards children, whereas Little Mermaid and like Cinderella really struggled to know like what its audience was. Like, it was playing fan service to the adult fans who grew up with it, but then it was also adding kooky like elements for kids to enjoy, but then it was also kind of like too grown up to actually enjoy. And so this one did feel like very, very childlike. And yeah, it, like even when it got more serious, like it has the same element of the forest seeming to come alive and eat her when she first is forced to run away. But everything else, it's very shiny, very shimmery. Like, I think it helps that the the dwarves are little nightmare gnomes, because it just adds to this sort of childlike wonder of it all. So I did think Rachel Zegler actually did well, because she has that like theater styling, like just the wide doe-eyed looks and the finger acting by Gal Gadot. Like, I think it was all, it played into the campiness of sort of catering itself to children. I just wish it had gone further in that and also dialed back the world building, because honey, it made no sense. Like, it made no sense, the like backstory of this kingdom. I don't know.
Well, also the, like, I'm sorry, the haircut that she had and the dress that she wore were so bad. Like, I understand that they were trying to look like the animated movie, which, like, great, yeah, but they just looked so weird on a real person.
I know.
That I feel like that the costumes, the whole movie were bad. Like, every single costume worn by every person.
I like Jonathan's little tight pants. You know, it was like, oh, skinny jeans are back. Like, it's like
the opening sequence with everybody in the town. I was like, whoever designed these costumes needs to be fired. Like, I'm sorry, they should be like losing their job for this. These are
I was like, okay. I liked her like I'm just a servant costume, but then it made no sense when she put on this gown to go apple picking for some reason after being a enslaved child laborer for 10 years. She's like, oh yeah, I have no questions. I'm gonna wear this bright yellow gown to pick apples to bake a pie. And I just kind of adored that. I loved how weird it was. And yeah, I think it was just like a surprisingly unpainful film for me, that I was charmed by it. And yeah.
Well, okay, so then we also need to talk about like the political aspect of this.
The plot?
Because, because at the beginning, she, like, her parents are the king and queen, and they're sort of running a, like, communist utopia where, like, everybody sort of brings everything, and, oh, I'm going to borrow some of your apples, and you're going to take some of this, and we're all going to live happy ever after. And then somehow or another, like, the wife dies, and so then the dad gets remarried to the evil queen. Yeah. Which it's like, okay, yes, accurate, like, grieving father, this, like, crazy woman comes in, then she has him murdered, question mark?
Yeah.
No, and it's,
the best part is that she's like, she made all the farmers soldiers, and I was like, what? That's bad. That's bad policy. You have to take care of your marketable assets. Like, who's doing the farming? You need farming, not just for food, but, like, what are you doing? Who are you fighting? What is this? Why are the soldiers here?
Well, and her main, like, concern was with gemstones. So you think that maybe, like, oh, she turned all of the workers to miners or something. But, like, they're soldiers. No. But against who? They're not farming. There's no food. There's, like, a Mad Max Fury Road-esque food shortage in the area. But she's eating everything at this banquet hall. But then the orchards are still, like, that's still operational.
There's like an abandoned orchard.
Because there's abandoned orchards that Snow White can go to. But then it's also a little unclear what the evil queen is doing with all of these gems. Like, yes, she has some on her crown and on her, like, and on her like cowl, but she seemingly is getting like thousands of these gems. And for is she trying to buy something? Is she just hoarding it? We don't know. She's obsessed with being fairest of them all, which like, okay, great. But then what is the...
It's literally just her talking to Amir.
There's a... What are the four things? Because there's like a... It's almost like in Drag Race, the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, which spelled cunt, that Snow White is going after. It's like fair and it's brave.
Be fair, and, be brave, be generous, or...
There's like four random phrases. Four random words that supposedly Snow White is
queen.
And she's gonna bring back those virtues. She's gonna make the kingdom fair again after after Gal Gadot has been just like soliciting like blood diamonds for however long, but that she's not getting from the dwarves, but like is maybe getting from the dwarves because they're
not
the ones
getting from the dwarves. Yeah,
who are mining them.
I thought it would be like
confusing.
I thought they'd be in on it. I thought they'd be like accidental. You know, I thought they'd be like shocked
collateral
to realize they
damage.
Worked for an evil queen, but no. And also, it was like. I assumed it would somehow be like she has to fuel her beauty through like sacrificial diamond, I don't know, melting or something. But I think she just liked gathering gems that were as pretty as her. And she was obsessed with like, well, diamonds are rock hard and flowers die. And it was like a metaphor that she kept on using of like, you don't want gentle, you want strong. And it's like, well, bitch, what are you doing? Like, you're doing absolutely nothing.
Exactly. Like- Well, and I was like, if she wants someone strong and she has all of these soldiers, it's like, well, is she, was there originally like a war plot line going on here that got scrapped at some point of like, oh, we have to defeat our enemies or something? Because that would make
more sense. Yeah, she like, just made that up. I don't know. Like, I feel like, she should have been a warlord of like forcing them to go and take on new kingdoms. But really, it remained this castle with a single village attached. Like it is a poor man's kingdom. I was mesmerized by it. I really was.
And I feel like you could go the like How to Train Your Dragon sort of route where it's like, okay, the Vikings are against the dragons and the dragons are against the Vikings, but it's just because they don't understand each other. And finally, like, the whatever the kid's name is and that like makes everybody friends. You could see a situation where Snow White is like, no, like evil queen, we don't hate these people that you're sending an army against. Like, we should love everybody. But that's not what happens. Instead, she sort of leads like a workers revolt with the townspeople to be like, hey, like, isn't the evil queen bad? Like, let's go back to our sort of communist society. And they're all very easily like, that sounds like a good idea. We've hated
being starved by this gem thief.
Let's actually just get rid of her.
Yeah, there's absolutely no question of like, well, maybe authoritarian like monarchies aren't worth the risk, because for every bad king you could have a crazy evil queen, so let's just like upend the system. It was like, no, we miss the king and we love his daughter unconditionally, and like, we are here for her, like, yes, queen, slay. And it was mesmerizing politics, because on top of that you have these like bandits who are supposedly
like Robin
organized
Hoodie kind of thing.
But they're not really, they're just like surviving on their own. Like they aren't organizing a sort of coup or anything like that, which I expected with the way he talked down to her. And that's why I love the readings of this film as like accidentally very neoliberal, because like you have this girl who's literally so privileged, she's safe in her castle, and even though she thinks she has it hard, like, she has no sense of reality. And so then her first instinct when she's faced with inequality is to be like, oh, well, like, I mean, if you just work harder, like, you know, like, maybe if you're just like nicer, it'll work out. Like, I don't know anything about equity or making sure that people have things that aren't, but I know property law pretty well, and that's my potato. So you can't just take it because you need it. And then it's like, you have this group of kind of artsy fartsy dudes and androgynous figures who are like, actually, girl, like, you've got to get in on this cohort. Like, this is what liberalism looks like while it's actually not any real work being done. So there's a lot of fun to be read into kind of how this trips along. And it's very simplistic, good feeling, like, all we need are vibes.
All you need is vibes.
Anarchy. Yeah.
Yeah, it felt very...
I loved it.
I think especially in our current situation politically, this movie felt very sort of out of touch of like, oh, we don't want like a democracy or something. Like, we just want a nicer king who's gonna, you know, sort of help us with things and throw a little party for us every now and again. And it just felt very kind of like toothless. And I think the thing is with movies like this, it's like the original, I don't want to say like works necessarily, but like, I think if you stick in a sort of, if you stay in the fairy tale realm and you stay in this sort of like timeless sort of space where it's just kings and queens and whatever, then that makes sense because it's not trying to weigh in on current things.
Yeah.
But then to try to take one of these old stories and sort of twist it and make it a new thing that says something current while maintaining the old problematic aspects, like, just doesn't really work. It either needs to be an adaptation that's for a very specific reason, you know, like when Ryan Coogler made Creed out of Rocky, where it's sort of like, oh, okay, like this, like, we're not just remaking Rocky, we're doing this because we have a very clear point of view of like, we're gonna talk about race in this and, you know, class within this sort of structure of a movie that we already have. Or you just need to do a complete, like, one for one sort of like remake of the original that doesn't really, you know, weigh into modern things at all. But this half and half, which I feel like is the same issue that we had with West Side Story, not to keep dumping on Rachel Zegler, is like, it just doesn't work. And
I think it's also the Disney live actions, like, they extend the runtime and they extend the world building, and the world building is very thin to begin with. So, so in the first one, when you're like, oh yeah, there's a princess and the evil queen wants to kill her because she's pretty now, that's like all you're asked to consider. But now they're like, like, let's make this more complicated, and we're going to have this like political landscape, and we're going to ask people to really consider what it means to be a king. And like, on top of that, adding unnecessary background for like the dwarves being 200 years old and not really brothers, but they all live together and they all hate each other. And like, we have to learn about them because of course we do, because otherwise it'll be a plot hole. But in patching up that hole, you actually like deliver a million new question marks.
Yeah.
Like, why are they magic? Why do their hands glow? What is that about? We just never revisited that again. They just needed it to fill in a verse of the new song, extended song. And so, I think the problem really comes down to they want to extend the world to justify a longer, more complex script. But in so doing, it just reveals how thin the world is to begin with, and it just it kind of takes you out of it takes the fun out of it, because you're like listening to them monologue about evil plans to make farmers soldiers, and you're like, okay, I just have a few follow-ups.
But the thing with this movie is like, okay, the original is 83 minutes. If you take out some of those songs, you add some new songs, you maybe add some like comic relief and some cool like wide shots or something, extend a battle sequence, whatever. It's like, you can easily get to 90 some minutes, which is more than enough for a movie. So you don't really need to like pad it that much. And also, if you have a shorter movie, it can play more times in theaters and more people can see it. Like, if you're The Brutalist, you can only show it 3 times in a day. If you have a movie that's 90 minutes, you can show it 8 times. Like, I don't understand. I mean, I understand. I feel like you can see why every decision regarding this movie was made. Like, it's very obvious why they're making the decisions that they're making, but none of them really, like, make sense mm-hmm. when you think about it from a larger point of view. It's sort of like when you're making a, like, when you go get frozen yogurt. If you, like, take every decision as a singular thing by itself, you end up with this monstrosity yeah. of sort of like, oh, well, I like Kit Kats, let's get Kit Kats. Oh, well, I like gummy worms, let's get gummy yeah. worms. Oh, well, I like butterscotch sauce, let's get butterscotch sauce. And it's like, oh, this is actually a disaster now, I hate this.
Yeah.
Where if you go in yeah. and you're like, okay, I'm doing a fruit thing, then even though I like these chocolate stuff and I like marshmallows mm. or whatever, I'm not getting those because I'm getting the fruit option.
Yeah.
And it's like Disney never quite seems to be able to make those larger decisions. And so instead they're just like, yeah. okay, well, we're going to get that. Oh, and actually we're not going to do this and we're going to do this other thing. And it's like, this made no sense as a larger, yeah. like macro level film. This only makes sense if you look at each individual question by itself, and that's not how anybody right. watches a movie. Like,
yeah,
it's, you know, yeah, it's just crazy. It's like, okay, what we need to give the Evil Queen a personality trait. What should it be? Oh, she liked gems. Like, okay, great. Like, love that. Good answer. But then it's and like, caveat. Well, how does that yeah. fit into the rest of the stuff? Like, well, unclear. Yeah. We don't know. We're not going to bother asking. We're just going to stick
well, yeah, because you can see, like, gems. The best part of the movie, I think inarguably, but maybe you disagree, is Whistle While You Work. Like, the whole set was very fun. The, like, musical element was fun. And it was quirky and goofy, and it was just what it needed to be. It was just a sort of new spin on a song we all know, and they had fun doing it. And I think, you know, this being the same musical team as the people who did Greatest Showman, like, that's what we want, is splashy numbers. But aside from the like main song Waiting on a Wish and then Whistle While You Work, there's really just a lot of singing at the screen. Like, there's not a lot of theatrics to it. And I feel like if you just gave us a fun musical that happened to be Snow White coded, we wouldn't need all this like backstory of bandits versus dwarves versus is the king dead or not, and the the huntsman is going to help free everyone. I don't know. Like, it just got too complicated in the stuff that wasn't the fun stuff anyways. So I agree. Yeah. I think they just need to settle in and make a fun musical, because that's what kids loved about the originals anyways, is just, it was fun and it was pretty to look at and it had catchy music.
I thought the best part of the movie was the sort of relationship between Snow White and the prince, or the Jonathan, whatever his name is. Like, I thought that they were cute together. I thought that their songs were yeah. good. And that's also like a very simple plot line that's sort of hard to yeah. mess up, of like, oh, this girl meets this guy, they like each other, they're gonna lovers. Fall in love, yeah. you know, like whatever. Like, that's a very,
very
straightforward
cute.
plot, and I thought that that was done well. But
instead yeah. it's like he gets shot by an arrow and is cured by the doc treating him like a, like, it was just, there was a lot of details added that were unnecessary. And if you want a dark, complex Snow White, Snow White and the Huntsman is right there. You know, like, it's like, this could have just been, yeah, stripped down to basically what it was in the original, and people would have either hated it or loved it. But now instead you have kind of a mess and people still hate it or love it. So.
Right. Well, and it's not doing well in theaters. And
yeah.
I mean, it's like I hoped with Captain or the Marvels, and I sort of hope now after Captain America went, whatever the last one was, and now this, and like with Lightyear and stuff, I'm like, okay, if some of these actually start doing badly, then maybe Disney will stop making them and start making some newer things. I don't know if that's going to happen, but yeah. I do feel like we've had a couple of duds in a row of these yeah. live action remakes, and maybe that will hint to someone like, okay, let's actually come up with some new stuff, because yeah. you know, like, people are really into Moana and Frozen and that kind of thing, rather, and those are new properties that we just did.
Well, now they're just making those live action.
Well, I mean, no, I know, and hopefully those, I mean, I think those will probably do better, unfortunately, but
yeah, but and I'm like, we have How to Train Your Dragon coming up. Well, I guess that's DreamWorks.
Yeah.
But we have Lilo and Stitch.
Yes.
So I'm curious to see how that performs. It seems like a better project than, like, it hasn't been mired in the same controversy.
Yeah.
I think they're redoing Sword in the Stone next.
Okay, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, whatever. Okay. Lilo and Stitch, at least, I think, has the aspect of, like, Stitch is an alien, but everything else in that world is real. Right. So theoretically, it could be shot in, like, a real world location, which I think is fun. I also don't know that movie as well, because my mom would not bias the VHS of that, because she said she didn't like that Lilo talked back to her sister and didn't want to encourage that behavior in us. So I think I've only seen Lilo and Stitch once, actually, in theaters. But lots of fun things. But speaking of Hawaii and speaking of Lilo and Stitch, next week, I was like, next week we'll be back talking about the White Lotus finale, but that's actually not true. What is next week?
I think it's Death of a Unicorn.
Death of a Unicorn, and then the White Lotus finale, and then we're going to be talking about the new Hunger Games book. So look at us. We have 3 weeks lined up in a row, and then also we have the mailbag episode coming up in a couple of months for our 300th episode. So if you have questions, submit those to us so we can answer them on the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, any other thoughts on Snow White? Any other lingering
issues? That's it. That's great.
Yeah, what a movie. Can't wait to see where this falls in our year-end ranking. It's always fun at the beginning of the year putting, you know, starting those and being like, oh, Snow White currently in 6th place. It's like, it'll be fun to watch every movie comes out for the next 9 months past this one. So, good times.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, Shelby's going to stick it in her top 10. She loved it. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Submit your questions to us, and we will see you next week. Bye.